You're listening to a 9to5.cc podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to Go Plug Yourself. We've been talking to awesome people in Montreal since 2011. Just a friendly reminder that if you're going to be buying anything on Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, or Zazzle.com, go to 9to5.cc first and click the links at the bottom or in the sidebar so that we get a bit of that money. Also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and enjoy the show.
Go plug yourself. You plug and mother plugger. Go plug yourself.
Talking about your name. I wish I was recording that.
I wish I so do I. I look over.
That was,
over,
that
over
was solid like, banter going on.
I think like we can rehash that. But
the modus operandi.
So wait, so the name of the show is Mark and Kyle Go to Prom.
Yeah, you got it.
And not the Mark and Kyle show.
Not the Mark and Kyle.
As I believed in five minutes ago.
The Mark and Kyle project.
Are we recording?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely,
yeah,
we are, yes.
You're absolutely
nice. Pressure's on, dude.
Not
see, normally, Keith would have waited for me to say something accidentally racist or somehow offensive.
That's usually how the show starts.
Like, yeah, no, like,
I
he waits.
Like, hover he, over the mic and just be like, he's talking offensive.
Keith just throws topics that he'll know will upset me and he'll wait for me to start ranting and raving, but then he'll just go, and he's like,
topics
okay.
Like what?
The last 5 minutes of that was recorded. And I'm like, God damn it, Keith. Like, we're never going to get those grants now.
Do you re-edit it, or is this whole podcast just like snippets from the life of a madman?
I try to avoid editing as much as possible. I find it's much more soothing to just hear like a conversation happening.
It is absolutely right. Not a reflection on his work ethic.
So yeah. Right now we're in like the cold open phase. Like
yeah, so we should do something like exciting, but not necessarily fully connected to the.
Yeah, well, no,
what,
we do something like this. We keep
notes.
It boring. We keep it boring like a CSI episode, right? Like
yeah.
A cold open of a CSI episode would just
and
be like
opposite.
Four guys chatting.
Which CSI?
Podcast,
which
like any CSI.
Any of the CSIs, and then it cuts
or
to
like
who's screaming.
Order.
Right.
Yeah, and then it would
yeah.
be like one of us would say, you know, I got to go to the bathroom real quick. Is that okay? Can you keep recording? And then I'd go to the bathroom and come back and say,
oh. And I just go,
yeah!
Do, or whatever the CSI theme song.
Yeah, I'd probably let you get a sentence instead of just being like, guys.
And then you'd cut to the title promo, and then we'd actually start the conversation.
Yeah, executive producer.
We'd start the crime
Dick
conversation.
Dick Wolf.
Yep.
Dick Wolf? Yeah, that's Law and Order.
No, but that's, no, he's not
we'll
CSI. He's Law and Order, dude.
Yeah, I know.
Dick Wolf produces.
It's right. Jerry Bruckheimer presents a Dick Wolf joint.
Venture. Go plug yourself just for laughs.
Yeah.
Dick Wolf.
Have you guys ever gotten grant money? Ever? Have you ever applied for grants or anything
yeah,
like that?
Got,
this podcast is going to be us trying to find out how to get grants.
Yeah, from yeah, Mark.
We got right. Telefilm money to make Roller Town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
How long? I mean, like, now does that take a long time to clear? Like, does that
yeah.
like how long? Is like, have you seen that money yet? Or?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
good.
Yeah.
All right. Good.
I mean, I don't know how like most grants work if they're.
I have no idea how they
yeah.
work, so that's why I'm asking you. Because
like with Telefilm, it's a very formal process. So there's a deadline for applications. People are competing. So everything is. Everything is easy. I mean, if you know how to do it, and we didn't, but we had a producer who did. Everything is easy. But I have friends who live in Montreal and are just applying for these, what seem like very vague, like, money to write for a year type grants.
Yeah, yeah, that's like that's what I want.
That,
yeah,
like those are the most infuriating grants for me. Like, I literally saw someone on Facebook who's like this girl who doesn't have a lot going on. She doesn't do a lot of things, whatever. She's like,
what's
so,
her name?
I can't remember. I would honestly say it because I called her out on Facebook, being like, this is not what that's for. She was just sort of like, I just got a grant to write a book for a year. Like, does anyone know anything about writing a book? And I was like, what? I was like, fuck you. Like,
she should write a book on how to write grants.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I'm all like, oh, have website stuff and comics and podcasts and whatever. We're all doing all this shit. And they're like, I just got a grant to write a book.
At any point,
how do you write a book?
At any point, should we mention who's on the podcast today?
No.
Okay.
No, we said it's Mark and Kyle.
It's Mark and
going to prom.
It's Mark and Kyle.
Don't let that spoil your impression of grants, though, because I do think, by and large, they're
good for society.
They're good, and yeah, they promote art.
I know, no, and absolutely yeah. want one.
definitely want one.
What I'm sort of, you know, my end game with all this is, I mean, I'm hoping that having you guys on, you've received something from Telefilm,
yeah.
and I'm hoping that'll help.
Walter,
us.
Stop looking at me. I feel like I just got Yoko Ono'd. He's like, what I feel in this moment
what
just
I
turns
feel.
Away from me completely.
So
like,
let me tell you what my vision for
you're
the
really
podcast is.
Back right
yeah.
now.
It's like, you know, it's the setup.
Don't just keep going. Mark Little and Kyle Dooley have joined us here this morning in the Hyatt Regency.
Fill in that pregnant pause from Walter.
We got Mark Dooley and Kyle Little here.
Somebody got that
today.
Pause pregnant. Tracy Morgan.
Nice.
Yeah.
And Tracy Morgan. Mark Little, Kyle Dooley, and Tracy Morgan have joined us here this morning.
You did mention Roller Town earlier, and we saw Roller Town last year at Fantasia.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it was amazing.
Thanks.
It was crazy because you were here Just for Laughs, but you weren't there at Fantasia, and it was taking place at the same time, and I was like, this is somebody dropped a ball.
Yeah,
they flew us out the morning of the screening.
Really? That's so funny.
They screened it that night, and Scott was there, right?
Yeah.
I really wanted to see it, and I heard it was like the best reception of
it. Was great. It was
like people were like hollering and screaming and all that stuff. It was like Fantasia in general, like the crowd is usually there to see the movie. They're not just like take like whatever that film is, if it's a comedy, a horror, or whatever, the crowd gets into it.
This year there is a co-presentation between Fantasia and Just for Laughs, a couple things. They got together in a couple things, and I feel that partnership has come directly from them dropping the ball with you guys last year. So if anything, so you can feel good about that. That you know
motivated by guilt.
Yes, I think you know you've opened the door for a fruitful.
It was a little weird for us because we were just sort of like we had like I said seen you and Andrew yesterday, and then we're at the movie the day later, and we're like, why are they here?
Why would they want this? Exactly. Don't they like bathing in approval?
Yeah, exactly.
No.
It's like theater full of people just laughing hysterically at your film. You're like, pass.
Andy and I were in a field raking leaves. this is all we deserve.
Just moving rocks from one pile to another.
What's happening with Roller Town now? What's it?
Same as it was.
Well, you guys got a limited release because I was out in Calgary in the fall and it was screening at like a Scotiabank in Calgary. I was like, what the fuck?
A Scotiabank theater. Yeah.
Not the bank.
Yeah.
At the bank.
Would you like to withdraw, deposit, or watch Roller Town?
There was a teller that was just really distracted. She was watching it on her phone.
Just an iPad with only Roller Town on it.
Yeah, no, but I was happy for you guys that at least there was some sort of a release because at the phase that you guys were at Fantasia, it looked like you were just getting a video on demand release.
In the States that's all that happened. It was VOD, and then in Canada it was so small. But then in the States it's proven to be better because it's on Netflix.
Okay,
and it's not on Canadian Netflix.
It's not really.
Yeah, I think that's the fate of a lot of Canadian movies.
It's just bananas.
I don't know what the cost is.
How did that happen?
I mean, I guess there's licensing fees for Netflix, and in Canada, Canadian
just
Netflix
people
just
watch
has
Netflix
less money.
In Canada?
There's that, and they just have less money, so maybe they don't want to blow it on too many Canadian indies.
Yeah, but like you think that they'd get some sort of a pass.
Listen to what you just said. They don't want to blow all their money on too many Canadian indies. Like, how much could that possibly set them back?
I don't know.
At the end, I'll just say it was really good. And so if people want to see it now in Canada, do they have any – what are their options?
Hack their Netflix?
Get American Netflix. Get Unblock Us or Unblock US or whatever it is.
But is there in any other way?
I think it might be on Canadian iTunes right now for purchase.
Cool.
But, I mean, unblocking American Netflix.
It sounds
good.
Like the way to go. Yeah,
it's a good thing to do. Period.
Okay.
Super have easy. You done it? I haven't done it.
I've done it. I paid us like $4.50 a month fee for this thing. Unblock US or Unblock Us, and then
right.
And I just get.
You're gonna be like terminated by some like web police officer.
Do you think so? Am I doing something illegal? I don't even know.
You get like a stern.
Yeah, it doesn't even
letter.
Feel that illegal.
Well, when you pay a fee, it feels okay.
Yeah, it should be right, especially $4.50. That's like more than half of Netflix.
Exactly. But I have my friend's Netflix.
Are you saying that? So you're saying
you're like, but I don't pay $8 for the Netflix. I only pay $4.50 for the unblocking fee.
And if
she's
feels
probably getting a
right.
She's probably really upset by it because she's giving me the password to her Netflix.
And all
but
her recommendations are like based on your weird streaks. Just like everything's John Hughes.
she's probably getting these recommendations for movies she's not even allowed to watch because she hasn't hacked American Netflix.
Oh, what a nightmare.
I'm just going on her Netflix and rubbing it in her face.
Yeah, what a nightmare. I can't think of anything worse than that.
Yeah.
I gotta stop throwing around nightmares so willy-nilly.
I also watch shows that she's already watching and like rewind them to the beginning and just get her place all in a way. You're right like now, we're competitively watching Orange is the New Black, and I'm winning.
Nice.
You're like a very minor supervillain.
Yeah,
like
super
minor. Anti-Netflix guy.
I'm just
around with
pushing
like
her to the point that she'll have to either say something or kick me out, but I don't think she will.
Yeah.
But do you think she would passive-aggressively just change the password?
If she did, I wouldn't blame her, but I don't think she will.
Okay. Like, she wouldn't even tell you. You would just log in, and you're like, fuck. Yeah. No, not this time.
I've got my friend's Netflix. I've got my ex-girlfriend's New Yorker account. I'm
really
racking up the guilt mileage.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
New Yorker. What a magazine.
Do you ride the train and just read the New Yorker just to, like...
Yeah.
I actually just read New Yorker for the articles, so I actually read the articles.
Yeah, well, I'm
I read
for
that one comic that I don't understand.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I suppose a lot of, you know... There's no shame admitting that.
There's no shame.
No.
To try to understand one of their highbrow comics, and like I force myself to laugh to make myself feel smarter.
They suck.
And they're
so
like,
much.
I thought we were in a fiscal crisis.
Yeah.
That's the punchline. Yeah. You're like,
it's like a guy lying on a therapist's chair and like a bear behind him.
Yeah.
And clearly the result of some caption contest. Isn't it impressive that someone came up with anything for this? Yeah. But how is that your strategy?
Yeah.
I thought a real cartoonist to come up with both parts.
You know, nope. A guy that makes cartoons for a living.
Yeah. You realize that the Far Side had real punchlines, right? That's not impossible in a one-panel comic.
Bizarre ran for a really long time, too.
Yeah, Bizarro.
Yeah. I think Bizarro's still on.
By Dan Perraro.
Yeah. Those good one-panel comics that are...
They were good.
Oh, yeah, Bizarro was decent. That's
they had
right,
all those
yeah.
Easter eggs. They always had that eyeball and that slice of
the spaceship.
Pie. Spaceship.
Yeah.
Did you when you read the comics page as a kid, did you have an order? Did you save some of the shittier ones for last? Or did you just start top corner and go bottom
corner?
The last
time I ever, like, religiously read the comics page was in, like, the heyday of Calvin and Hobbes and Farside.
Yeah.
So you get a Sunday Calvin and Hobbes, and you'd get
a
Farside, and it'd be, like, a little crack hit for your week. As you wouldn't call it that because I was 12.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah.
Yeah.
That was great days. And then Bizarro was a part of that. Robot Man. I don't know if you guys had that in Ontario.
I think we had Robot
Man. Don't know what Robot Man is.
It was very good.
Yeah.
It was out west. We had Robot Man. Super fun.
Family Circus, Garfield puke.
Yeah, Garfield was pretty terrible.
I liked the weekend ones, though, when it was all full cover color. Like, I would even
like
read
the pictures.
For better or worse.
Oh, for sure. Like, the Sunday comics was, like, outstanding.
They just looked
for,
nice.
For better or for worse, which had a guaranteed spot in every Canadian newspaper on the basis of it being Canadian.
Is that why?
Canadian?
Yeah.
Absolutely Canadian.
Is it Sally Forth is the writer of that, or no?
No, Sally Forth is another comic.
Oh, that's right. I actually know this is somewhere that's stored in my mind.
Something Hamilton, maybe?
Yeah,
either way, and the CBC did some animated for better or for worse. Like they had their own little show for a little while.
I think
while.
It was on CTV.
Whatever.
Yep.
Canadian television.
Animated
Canadian.
For better or for worse.
There was like there was some specials.
To spend money.
Like, there was like holiday specials and shit like that. Like
it's crazy. Yeah, and I always thought, there was Kathy and Betty competing. Did you guys have Betty?
I don't know who Betty,
Betty
is.
But we
I know
Kathy
is.
Betty was like Roseanne. Betty was like the Roseanne to Kathy's like. What would Kathy be? Like, maybe Grace... No, not Grace Under Fire, because Grace Under Fire was...
Grace, wow.
But Kathy was sort of, like, trying to dress stylish, but, like, couldn't hold it together, right?
She's, like, a quirky...
Suddenly Susan.
She's just a quirky girl.
I think it's Caroline in the City.
City.
Right?
Caroline in the City.
Caroline in the City,
yeah.
And then
Caroline
Betty was, like, a blue-collar, like, lumberjack of a woman. And then she had, like, her Dan husband, John Goodman-style husband, and they would just sort
John
of, like...
Gibbons style?
John Goodman, but yeah, John
no, I
Gibbons.
Thought you said John Gibbons. I thought you were referring to the manager of the Blue Jays as a style human being. Yeah, that's not a thing yet.
John Gibbons shaves his sideburns so high that it looks like a mullet.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
He does. He's got to work on that.
He's so gross.
They're not sideburns
he's a gross
anymore,
guy.
Then.
No,
they're
oh,
not
it's
sideburns.
True.
It's just straight.
He's like Wade Boggs in that Simpsons episode.
when Burns just yells at himself.
Look, I don't know what you think
no,
sideburns
Don,
are.
Is it Don Mattingly? I think it's Mattingly.
No, it's Boggs.
Is it Boggs?
Boggs! Shave those sideburns. Oh, so
shave
funny.
Them as much as I can, Coach. Yeah. He's so loyal and sweet, too.
It's got to be one of the best episodes.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody takes a sip of coffee, and we get nice, quiet times.
So you guys just hanging out at the festival this year? You got a show? Or?
We talked about this right at the beginning.
We
I
did?
Dropped the name
there
right
was
off.
Mentioned? So I thought that was just the thing you were saying.
Off though. JFL at Main.
I'm not even looking at him now. I'm just like, I'm not so refuse funny. To turn around. He's like,
punch
I,
you
I
in the
stomach. I'm all about maintaining.
No, but I thought that Walter was just going to jump back in being like, tell us more about grants and how we
so,
get them.
So I'm just saying, should we expect a lot of them. Money or like a moderate amount of money?
You have to hitch your wagon to someone who is good at writing grants.
Yeah.
Usually that's a producer. And it means they'll get a part of whatever you make from there on in, obviously.
Can we talk
but
to Talar?
Some people
Talar
are
and Danny should know.
And if you want to, you can hang out with the producer or the grant writer while they write the grant and learn yourself. But I'm pretty sure it's a pretty friggin' arduous process to learn how to write an effective grant. Like, the Bad Dog Theater Company hired a lady for, like, $6,000.
Jesus.
With the express purpose of, like, her writing arts grants to make that theater company, like, be able to pay their artists.
Well,
here's the thing. I think I might have an innate talent for this that I've yet tapped into, because the other day,
That's not true. You have a hard time writing an email.
The bank took $40 from me the other day because of a non-sufficient funds issue.
Oh, one of those no money.
And they're like,
so
they're like, we paid this for you and took money out of your savings account, and for that we're going to charge you like another $40. It's not like the money wasn't there. They found the money.
Right,
it's like, we're going to charge it. They charged me $42 in fines. And I was like, and I just, at one bitchy voicemail, got my $42 back.
But I feel that
just one voicemail, and I was like, give me my $42 back.
Are you like,
confusing like a 90 second vocal rant with like a 38 page.
Yeah, but I think that'll, I think that.
But maybe
I'm
he's like
saying.
A getting money
give
rain man.
Yeah, give me my grant or I'm changing
it's a
countries.
Approach.
Yeah,
I need
you need to coordinate some kind of threat that you can't back up. Like, I'm gonna renounce my citizenship. I swear to God.
Exactly.
I swear to God. Do you want me here?
Do you want me to apply for a grant to another film board in Canada?
That's just
sure. There are no others.
Yeah, maybe there will be. That's all I'm saying.
Canadian. I'll get money from other governments.
I can't believe that would be great to supplement
our Canadian.
Getting a grant to write a novel seems bonkers. Or like write a book. We wrote a book. Like Picnic Face wrote a book.
Yeah, there's the Picnic Face Guide to Canada.
Probably worked like less than you did, and I still worked like 8 weeks.
That was a fucking.
I would say on that novel, and probably made. What did we make? Like $400 or something? Like
nothing.
I mean, dick on a stick on that.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe would have made money if it like sold copies, but that's you know.
Yeah, but I wouldn't like as much as I loved the process of working on that book and love us. I wouldn't say that like contributed to the Canadian identity or anything like that.
Oh yeah.
Like I'm not upset about like the next young. Richler getting a grant or whatever. Or
oh, yeah, no, I...
betting on someone being...
I think we're talking about this girl who got her grant and didn't know how to write a book.
Yeah, that was Richler back in the day. You know? Like, I don't know how to write a book.
Sue Richler.
You know who I'm talking about. Morta Sue Richler.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
What?
Mordecai Dickler?
Mordecai
Dickler. Mordecai Dickler?
Is this like a sketch premise that I hope never got off the grant?
What happened? When did that come from? At some point, Keith and I came up with Mordecai Dickler, and it was Richler's his adult film contemporary,
yeah. Exactly.
Or it's like his adult nom de plume.
Yeah.
Someone just needs to make a quick bit of cash.
It's like, guys,
he throws on
I got a couple more Mordecai Dickler titles.
It's a lot of
coming your way.
Drives Mordecai, home at three. They know it's you.
Really, you've got nothing to hide your parents. You're on the cover of the DVD.
That was you, right?
That was one of, I think, our driving home at 3 a.m.
I would imagine.
Very, like...
Oh, yeah.
Just disposable premises.
Are you guys trying to divvy out who should get the credit for Mordecai Dickler?
You've also already written Mordecai Dickler fan fiction.
Fan fiction, exactly.
Like
the fiction exists.
Yes,
exactly. Like, what if Mordecai Dickler goes to the store, buys a gallon of milk? And you're like, what? This is terrible.
I kind of like it.
I meant Mordecai Dickler.
You should fight about who invented
it. The apprenticeship of Fuck You Kravitz. I don't know.
Fuck You Kravitz.
I don't know. It's just, yeah.
Apprenticeship of
Although
Lenny
the premise
Kravitz.
Of arguing
Kravitz,
about
yeah.
Mordecai Dickler isn't terrible.
How is there no Lenny Kravitz album called The Apprenticeship of Lenny Kravitz? That would be amazing.
Hey, Lenny's going to poke fun at himself? Are you crazy?
Good point.
Well, Lenny's the most self-serious loser in the biz.
My favorite, like, Lenny Kravitz.
He's an actor now, man.
Kyle doesn't care who he hurts.
On this podcast, I know Lenny Kravitz is going to listen to this podcast.
He does.
I know
he's
going to feel
the first
the burn.
Person
he retweets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
My favorite thing about Lenny Kravitz in the whole wide world is that, like, he did the cover of American Woman, but, like, as though, like, not understanding that American Woman is like an anti-American song, like, and like
I think he understood that. I think
when you watch the music video, there's American flags and girls dancing.
I think you insinuating that
Lenny Kravitz didn't know what he was doing and he just liked singing American Woman.
I think has a bit of a I'm gonna say it has a racial edge on it
against Americans, absolutely
against Lenny Kravitz.
Oh, Jews?
You think Lenny Kravitz's song, his cover, had
no?
A
I think
racial...
I think Keith suggesting yeah. that.
Is Lenny Kravitz
doesn't appreciate, can't understand irony.
I know he's Jewish.
Is mildly racist on Keith's
part.
I mean,
I saw Gene Simmons' cover of Firestarter by Prodigy, and I don't think he got the original of Firestarter.
Which is to say...
Is that a real thing you saw?
That's a real thing.
Which is just like start fires.
It's like, if you're going to be a Firestarter, be twisted.
Be an instigator, you know? Don't just jump in the fire.
Don't just like light a match, build a little teepee of logs.
Be a twisted instigator.
Yeah, use some gasoline. And that is a real music video.
That's true, yeah.
And you haven't seen that? It's Gene Simmons sitting with women, like old Gene Simmons, and then just throwing money and singing Firestarter.
He's a bit of a Firestarter. If like you come play his game, he will taste you.
Taste you or test you?
Test you.
It's definitely test you.
Look, I was a Prodigy.
But the Gene Simmons lyric, Gene Simmons changes it.
To test you.
To taste, because of the tongue thing.
Come play my game, I'll taste you.
Well, I only listened to Prodigy when I was like 11 years old. Like, play my game, I'll taste you. I didn't really get that they were British and taste sounds like test.
Are they British? Of course they are.
Absolutely British. Yeah.
I remember watching a Prodigy concert where the guy like that crazy white guy.
Yeah.
He drooled in the front row.
Double mohawk. Oh, yeah.
He drooled all over the front row like a snarling dog. And people were just, like, going nuts.
Lapping it up.
Just dancing and showering in his drool.
I'm pretty sure my mom, like, watched me and my brother watch that concert and just became terrified.
Sure.
Yeah, she's like, this is drug. This is drug music.
Drug music, yeah. I can't believe you went to a Prodigy concert. That's crazy.
No, I didn't go. I watched a live Prodigy concert.
I wouldn't
go to a Prodigy concert. What am I, crazy?
What am I, crazy? Do you think I like drug music?
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Oakville, Ontario.
Oakville, Ontario. And you're a Western
New Westminster,
boy.
BC.
New Westminster.
Former capital of British Columbia before Victoria screwed us.
Yeah.
I was in Victoria last fall.
So in your lifetime, that happened.
Yeah, you saw that happen. Well, I'm about 150.
No, but you didn't like you saw that happen though. You experienced that shift. And did you see that? Did that happen in your life?
Did it happen in the 1800s?
The capital
becoming,
shift.
Nope.
No, it's a bit older.
Right. See the way you said it.
Yeah.
Did you feel the
sense
of...
I thought you were like, when you were a kid, and it was like, it happened, and you're like, and a little piece of you got torn away.
Yeah, no.
It's not a vampire.
So it didn't happen in your life.
No, though. I think if it had, we would all have heard of New Westminster as opposed to... We haven't, but here's something that did happen when I was a kid.
I mean, I just thought it was stupid, so...
I watched, I'm pretty sure, and this sounds like a fake memory even to me, so I don't know how much truth there is in this, but I'm pretty sure they showed us a propaganda video when I was in elementary school of, like, the debate where the representative from Victoria was granted the capital ship over the representative from New Westminster, but according to this video, it was because the Victoria guy stole the New Westminster guy's glasses, and he couldn't read his notes, and
really?
They thought he was drunk, so they gave it to Victoria. That's, I think, what they showed me in, like,
a
grade
part
two.
Of our
was the whole
heritage.
Thing. Yeah, I was going to say, was the whole thing done, like, a heritage minute?
Yeah, it was, like
commercial.
It was done by a director's cut. Heritage minute. It was, like, 40 minutes long.
That's nuts.
Did you but say it doesn't feel real. Why would they show that to kids? I can't...
Maybe to try to, like, to instill pride in the children of New Westminster, being like, no, we're still really the capital. It's just a weird mistake.
Vicious kind of pride. New Westminster's still weird, because that's what it's called. It's supposed to be the new Westminster Abbey. It was the new seat of the crown in the Western world.
Oh.
And so we still do these things that nowhere else in the country that I know of does. Like, every May 1st, we celebrate May Day. Little kids run the Maypole, where they, like, dance with ribbons. You know it. Little boys run the 4x100 relay, and then little girls are crowned May Queen, Maid of Honor, or Flower Girl, based on like a citywide.
Little
no, I know what's going on here.
What's happening?
I know what's happening here. You actually grew up in the in that place that
You grew up in Downton Abbey.
No, what's the Wicker Man? You grew up in the Wicker Man.
That's
in
right.
The
original
of the
Nick Cage
Maypole.
Version.
No, both.
I thought that was in the Midwest. Wasn't it?
I grew up in the setting.
Or was
of
it in like Maine?
The village. That's what you're thinking.
The
in
village.
A, in a large,
Shyamalan's village.
In a
without
large
knowing the twist.
Park.
Without knowing
in
the twist.
In the middle of New York.
Yeah.
Here's my problem with the village. Finally,
let's get to the village. Good. I'm glad we're getting to this.
I don't know.
I understand the impetus for wanting to raise your kids out of like urban life because the speed of technology is beating you down.
Yeah.
But like. People move to the Yukon. People move to Alaska.
And you can just go to that place where that lifestyle doesn't exist.
You don't have to create this crazy conspiracy where you're in a national park, but the guards agree not to let anyone out. There's high fences, and you all dress up like demons. Like, why?
There are
go to
other,
a
arm. There was another really, I can't fucking remember it because it wasn't like a major plot point, but there was like a really big problem with that film that I remember like nearly.
I think we just.
No. But I'm saying, but those are like the overarching problems. But there's like a certain action that a character makes. I can't for the fucking life of me remember it. But I was just like, no, this is stupid. Like, this is dumb. I think it's like.
I feel like we really need a specific thing right now.
Yeah.
otherwise, it's like, story.
It's the murder. It's the murder of one of the elders of the. Like, they're just like, okay, we're just. So you disagree with us, and even though he's an elder who knows the secret, they still kill him. But I'm like, but he knows the secret. You could have just let him go.
Can I address my own personal elephant in this room right now?
But instead, they just murder him.
I've never seen The Village. I don't know what anyone's talking about.
Oh, we just spoiled the ending. It's supposed to be these people you think they're you think it's taking place in like 1700, and there's demons guarding the outskirts of this village.
And you can't leave. But in reality, you're in a compound in modern times.
You're in a compound in modern times. It's just like a it's just like a park.
Yeah.
But it's like...
It's like a mile from the highway.
That was a twist?
That's the twist.
Shyamalan's twists were just getting... That was like the height of his softest twists.
No. Yeah. I think that he still had one more like shit twist left to go after that, maybe. I don't know if that was
the
last one.
The Happening was the worst one.
The Signs,
better
was, a
twist.
Signs was a terrible twist.
Signs is brutal twist.
It's not even... It's still an interesting movie to watch. But the twist that
Signs
was
still yet to be... Was still
no, the twist is that it's water.
It's water.
So if you... The four of us were space explorers,
yeah,
and we found a planet made entirely of acid,
yeah,
or 80% acid. Would we be like, let's try to take it over?
Yeah,
it's all acid.
It'd be a bad call for sure.
It'd be a super stupid call. And I'm like, you said that they
we'd
can't...
be okay until someone in a living room accidentally threw a glass of acid at us.
Exactly. Yeah. But also, you would think it'd be these like there's these land masses surrounded by giant, like double the size of the land masses, pools of acid.
Yeah. The coolest part of that movie was the little girls. It was a little girl, a little boy's like. In, like intense asthma.
Oh yeah,
that was intense. That was the best part of that movie. That kid having the asthma attack in the basement. You're like, oh man, this kid's gonna die of asthma right now. Like, oh yeah, there's aliens. I really wish this was an asthma movie.
maybe the alien's weakness is asthma.
Yeah,
my favorite part of that movie was when Mel Gibson was like, aliens. What about the Jews?
Yeah, that got kind of. That was kind of weird.
That got really weird.
Really dark movie.
And Joaquin Phoenix is all like just like zonked out from start to finish. Yeah.
Swing away.
No, the Happening movie was the way worse.
I never saw the Happening.
The Happening movie, spoilers, the twist is that it's the trees.
It's the trees.
Yeah,
the trees are now so mad at humans that they've become the super.
You know that song by Rush?
So mad.
That's that song by Rush about the shit in the forest.
I come from the trees.
It's that movie. It's
the best part.
That's why I didn't get the song right.
Yeah, there's a Rush song about trees.
It comes
and shit.
From the trees and the blossoms.
I think it's called Trouble in the Forest. You know what I'm talking about?
Trouble in the Forest.
It's a Rush song. You know, it's a Rush song about environmental distress.
We've all lived in Canada long enough to have heard every Rush song on the radio.
Every Rush song is approximately 1 year long. I haven't listened to any of them.
Geddy Lee has a writing credit on The Happening. That's all I'm saying.
What about God Bless You, Mother Nature by The Guess Who?
That's a good one.
That's actually not a bad hippie jam. Guess Who had some hot hippie jams.
Slash Guns, Guns, Guns. Godspeed, Mother Nature, slash Guns, Guns, Guns.
Really? Ooh,
yeah.
Right, that's right.
Oof.
Yeah.
They were a pretty sarcastic band. You be the Red King, you be the Red King, I'll be the Yellow One. Guns, Guns, Guns. Godspeed, Mother Nature.
You know what?
Guys, it's been fun. Thank you for joining us today on our podcast.
Credit where credit's due to The Guess Who.
This is done. We've worked in all reticent.
We
covered a lot of poignant topics.
Keith, do you have anything else?
Well, I feel that we could maybe talk about the show
a little bit.
Yeah.
Burton Cummings album on my wall. I have one on my wall. The front is him naked lying on a bed. The back is him as a boy naked lying on a bed. But I don't know if that's him as a boy. Either way.
Are you being serious? You are.
Wow, yeah.
And the album is just called Cummings.
Yeah.
It's awkward.
I think it's butt. You just see like a boy's butt.
I hope I'm not misremembering.
You see like
that.
The backside of Burton Cummings adult.
And if you are misremembering, I think there's bigger problems here as to why you would misremember it like that.
There's a lot more at play. What I really meant was, I've got a picture on my wall of an old man naked on a bed and then a boy naked on a bed. And I think it's Burton Cummings' fault.
Well, when in doubt, blame Burton Cummings. Yeah.
A rule of thumb to live by. Really.
Child porn on my computer. It's a joke.
It was a goof, guys.
Get it? I found it in Avalia Village.
Get Cummings on the phone. I did see.
He'll back me
call your lawyer.
I did see the show last night.
Did you?
Yes, I did. I was there.
Thanks, Walter.
You're welcome. Keith was not there. He was like at work or something.
Yeah, I was
so sick of Keith.
Right?
I'm the worst.
The old dead weight.
Fucking guy.
Now, okay, so what's the runtime on that show?
It's supposed to be 60. We went 75.
Right.
Yeah.
Hours. Rush.
The show does have room left for improvisation in every show, right? I take it like,
yeah.
Do you sort of go in there with like an allotment as to, okay, this is what we got to nail this stuff, and then leave this much room for, or is it just like
right now the show's too new for us to make those kind of decisions? Like that was the first performance of that show
ever.
We did like a rough version that was different months ago.
We did one. We did one version of that show, and then we took a bunch of stuff out, and then we added a bunch of stuff. And so, like, that version of that show, I say, is pretty new, yeah.
So those kind of questions you're asking are, like, ones we'll probably ask ourselves at the end of Just Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, maybe we can deal with it
like
now.
Breakfast on
maybe
Thursday.
We can deal with it now, and then for the rest of it, it's just going to be, you know.
It's a good idea.
Let's just workshop it right now.
You'd think it would be fun, like, workshopping a sketch show. It's just kind of boring. It's like you just sit and eat bagels and just hash it out, yeah.
Well, because once you establish something's funny, you're like, we don't have to laugh at it anymore, and we can just, and you just move on to that.
Yeah.
Then it becomes very boring.
What we want is more of the written jokes to be, like, explosive belly laughs, mm-hmm. and less relying so much on, like, riffing and shit. Yeah. We're not going to not stop riffing, because it's fun.
We're not going to not stop riffing.
We're going to continue riffing.
Well, you addressed your frustration about two-thirds of the way through the show at one point, noting that the riffing was working better than the scripted material.
Yeah, I have a problem with showing my hand on stage.
you addressed this and brought the audience in on this.
And then
that guy left like with 5 minutes left of the show.
And that was the best. Although it turned out it was just heat exhaustion.
Yeah, it was.
And you guys were fucking lucky. Like,
it was a little
that
warm.
That venue.
Yeah.
During Fringe was in the middle of the heat wave, like Montreal Fringe Festival. Like, nice. At least the heat's broken.
Yeah.
And it's still hot as shit in Mainline. But during, I remember we watched like there was a one-man show that we went to go see there. And it was like midnight, and it was the most humid day of the year, and I felt so bad for the guy that I was going to see because I was like, you're interesting, but I'm sleepy because it's really humid and it's midnight. Yeah.
I could kind of feel that last night, too. It was like, it felt a little lethargic in there, but that might have been on us, that might have been on the heat, it might have been a combination, I don't know. But in terms of the riffing, it's like, at this point, when we're creating a show, or it feels like we're like honing a show from the original form, the riffing's good. We got to keep doing it because then we end up bringing in the good stuff.
You riff and then you pull back the riffing. Ideally, we record our shows, listen to the riffing, and be like, "Oh, there's like one definitively hot joke out of that. Let's take that, add it to the script, move forward." And ideally, the beast keeps getting funnier and funnier and funnier.
Did you guys record it last night? Because I noticed at the right at the end you picked up a phone or a recorder
or
some sort.
But it stopped 33 minutes in.
Well, that's
you're halfway there. It's not so bad.
Yeah, I got about a cool third of that shit.
I actually walked by your phone at one point. I turned it off.
Like a mean thing to do.
No, it's not.
That was a mean thing, and I don't know why you do something that mean.
He's like, I don't know why this is recording. Yeah, stop.
Stop. It's good.
I'll help this person.
Eat up the
I'll
battery.
Save their battery.
Someone's accidentally recording this.
I'm a hero?
when you guys do a show like this, how important is the actual sort of the overarching premise? So this is a Kyle and Matt go to prom.
Kyle and Matt?
Yep.
Mark plays a character named Matt.
Let's do that.
As I recall.
No.
And Walter plays a character called Bad Interviewer.
Bad audience member / bad interviewer the next day.
Hey, I didn't yell out once during the show last night.
Oh, that's so sweet of you,
and I wanted to so many times.
That's
that is what
yell out.
I know nothing. No.
It's got an improvement.
You have Tourette's?
You see you guys tomorrow for the interview.
Thanks so much, Walter.
Like in the middle of
this. You guys are so tall.
Mark, we should be good.
I feel short right now.
late in the evening yesterday, I started to go on at lengths about the height of our guests.
You're like 3 inches shorter.
I know. Something was happening right then, and I suddenly felt very short.
I'm average tall. Yeah. You'd call me tall.
That guy's
a tree.
I think it's because I watched the whole show sitting from like sort of at an elevated angle, and I watched you guys for like an hour and a half, and then like I just stood next to you and Talar, and I was like, the fuck? What happened?
I play like 6'5".
You play 6'5".
I play 6'5". I'm only
6'2". That's because everyone in Hollywood is short, so it's like they just put you next to Tom Cruise, and you're like, what a giant!
And you wore all those variants on, you did all those like horizontal striped costume changes throughout the show, which was a thing throwing me off.
Yeah,
so.
And I had my kid and play hair.
Yes, that was the other
off the top of my head. I can't remember which one.
It was a horizontal stripe.
Both had lid shoes on.
So what were we talking about, though?
I was just going to say, like, when you go into something like that, is how important is like, the premise?
Of, like, the prom thing?
Yeah, because, well, like, I mean, you work in a lot. It sort of seems like the reason to just get to a lot of other, like, jokes and bits and stuff. But is this,
so, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's not, like, important. When it's the first time we've ever done anything like this with, like, a narrative arc. When we were with Picnic Face, we never did anything like that. We only did just every sketch show was just sketch, 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 sketch. But a lot of that was a factor of just having eight people in a group and everyone had to get their sketch in. And we were doing like best of stuff from live shows that we'd been doing all year round. So it just wasn't really an option. But Kyle and I, when we were in Toronto, we recently did a run and we just like challenged ourselves to do that.
Just like write a new like quote unquote comedic play, sketch comedy play every week. So ideally, 10 beats tells a story, but each one of those beats has their own clear little sketch game, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of important. The story element adds a satisfaction that's not there with a disconnected sketch show, unless it's the funniest thing in the world.
Yeah, I love stories. But it's also like a good, like a template for that was like Monty Python's Holy Grail.
Right.
Which is sort of like a sketch comedy movie where, you know, you kind of care about Arthur's quest.
Yeah, but.
But really it's just a.
The memorable moments are, the sketches.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think you'd want to watch that movie if it was just, like, if Arthur wasn't there. I don't think you'd care if it was just, like, a scene about a witch being burned, a scene about a black knight fighting.
Yeah.
Like, you would just feel, like, kind of, who cares? You have, like, even just the hint of emotional stakes matter. Like,
yeah,
makes
exactly.
It feel better.
Yeah.
Like, then whatever the case is, they need to get through this to get closer to the goal or whatever. So,
exactly, yeah.
Even though that this individual scene might have absolutely nothing to do with that goal, the characters still need to go through it to get towards the goal?
Yeah, exactly. You got those twists. It's all through Arthur's POV or whatever.
So you're saying like this has not been performed anywhere else? Did you guys do like a workshop of it anywhere else first?
They said they did it once in Toronto and then they threw most of it away.
Yeah,
this is a question that we. we already talked about.
How old are you?
How old?
I'm sorry. I was going into.
Childish behavior.
I had interview questions here. That, where did you guys say you were, now? If
are you gonna ask them where they're from?
Let's do origin story. Where did you guys?
Oh my god!
We had one thing in the pre-interview, which was no origin story. Don't remind Walter of him telling us that we were tall. I can see what you're
doing. Broke both rules. They're gonna fucking. They're taking off the mics and throwing them down.
What kind of origin story? We can do a brief origin story.
No, it's fine.
I was
Halifax.
Exactly. A whole bunch of people went to Halifax, made a sketch comedy troupe.
Yeah, a whole bunch.
Eight.
It's a college town. We were there for college, except for a couple of us.
We're creepy old people.
Kyle was there for that pussy.
I thought you were pizza, and I was going to be like, at the four corners of Halifax, where there's
pizza corner.
Pizza corner.
It's three in a library.
My bad.
And then now it's down to two, a yogurt place, and a library.
Oh, is there a yogurt place there now?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, the grossest one.
Donairs are the fucking weirdest East Coast thing.
People love Donairs.
I know, I just don't want sugar on my meat, but apparently people are into it.
Man, sweet and savory is to die for.
You gotta be, like, real drunk. You gotta be real
drunk.
Donairs. Like, a special kind of drunk for a donair to be palatable.
Yeah, but it is just, like, thick sugar.
It's icing.
It's like icing
on... It's basically icing on a...
Salty meat.
Yeah. It's icing on a souvlaki.
That reminds me. Are we going to do five questions with our guest today?
No, we don't really do five questions.
We're
going to
skip that?
We're going to skip five questions.
Okay. Yeah, we can skip that.
Cool. We can skip that. I was going to just mention real quick that Mark had another accolade this year at Just for Laughs, because you're a person to watch.
On Variety, yeah.
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 Variety magazine person to watch. Guess who did his fucking research, Walter?
Cool.
Keith.
Guess who walked by a poster and took note of...
Yeah. Still counts.
I just like to point out that I did in fact see the show.
But
Walter did see the show, so.
Fuck you, I was at work. Either way, though, that's a good thing, though, one way or the other.
That's cool, yeah.
Like, is that opening doors for you here at the festival, or are you like.
Well, the doors at the festival are more or less open.
Alright.
But hopefully open doors in LA. You know, it's like LA is. Nobody down there knows Picnic Face. I mean, like, people at, like, Funny or Die and Cracked do, but nobody
at networks.
Yeah.
So no, and you know, I'm doing that Mr. D show. Nobody knows that show. Nobody knows anything Canadian. They know 22 minutes.
That's true. That's
did you like do 22 most... minutes? That's not even relevant
really?
In Canada
wait,
anymore.
Who knows 22 minutes?
Everyone in the States apparently. That's like the one Canadian show.
They know
that
the,
if you can toss that on your resume.
Really?
Like, oh yeah, it's like the Canadian Daily Show, and they've never watched it, so they don't know.
So they know
that
it's definitely not. Terrible.
Yeah, that it hasn't been funny since the 90s.
Is that even on anymore?
Yeah, it's still on. Still no airs. Shit. No original cast members.
Kathy Jones is still there.
But even then, I thought she was just a contributor. I don't think she sits at the
she's
desk anymore.
Oh, does she not?
I don't think she's at the desk.
Oh, I haven't watched it in 2 years. I don't
yeah,
know.
That's it. I think she does bits, but I don't think she's at the desk anymore.
When I met her when I first moved to Halifax, it like was a very big day for me. It was one of my favorite celebrity moments. I just remembered watching her with my parents when I was a kid. She was awesome.
Are you guys doing anything else at the festival apart from your own show? Like, are you going to be at any other, like, doing sets anywhere or anything like that? Or
I've got a couple of stand-up shows, yeah.
Yeah, what else are you going to be doing?
I'm doing the Seth Meyers Gala.
Okay.
And then, like, a couple of warm-up sets.
Very cool.
But I did my first warm-up set at Comedy Nest the other night, and I bombed. So that was horrifying.
Who was headlining?
I don't know. It was just, like, one of those ton of comics. Bob Marley was hosting.
Okay.
You heard of Bob Marley?
Yes, I have indeed heard of Bob Marley.
For any listeners, he's absolutely not that
not,
Bob Marley.
Not that Bob Marley.
It's a white guy from Maine.
Why should I change my name? Bob Marley's the one who sucks.
Why should I call myself Robert or Rob Marley?
What gala were you on last year? Because I saw you on a gala last year.
Last year, the Bill Hader one.
Yes, indeed. Was that fun? Was that fun for you last year?
That was fun. Yeah.
How was that? I mean, is that craziness? When you're prepping for a gala, when you're at the gala, and like, is shit just nuts back there? Or?
No.
It's not. No. It's like a well-oiled machine. Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't feel that crazy. I mean, I guess I get a little stressed out walking from the curtain to the microphone.
That's it. Yeah.
It's a big audience.
Because that was at the Place des Arts, like the huge. And then you're like, oh, there's that whole audience, and there's the balcony, and then there's that whole other audience, and then the audience goes forever.
Yeah.
And then you're like,
3,000er, 25
minutes over. More, it's even. Yeah, I think it's at least 3,000.
It's like, the more years I do it, the more worried I become about my material, because it's just like stuff I've written pretty recently. And that's, I think last year I had my first hint of like, it was like a punchline that didn't go over quite as well as I wanted, and I suddenly like had this flash of like, man, if I had a joke that didn't work in front of like 2,500 people, what would that feel like? That would probably be the worst feeling in the world. Horrifying.
Yeah.
Oh, just like
a complete bomb.
Yeah. It would be insane.
There's like that sample size, not one person. Like,
probably fall apart on stage.
Or if you hear like a cough, like...
Yeah.
And you're like, oh.
There are so many of you. No one.
Now, if I recall correctly, I believe you took issue during your Bill Hader Gala set with the Just for Laughs Gags TV show.
But they didn't use that in the broadcast.
They didn't use really? Did they cut that?
Yeah.
That's great. Too hot.
Why would they?
It's just like
shitting,
their
shitting on the product.
It's bread and butter, man.
It is.
Fucking bang with dash and people be like, oh, yeah. This is
yeah, they intentionally do it with zero dialogue so that they can put it in English and French without any translation. Oh,
yeah. And then
then they can sell it all overseas for fucking
the
ever.
Unintended consequences, it's global.
I feel like you're ultimately just really upset that you haven't been invited to participate in one yet.
I know.
Or, I mean, is that
what
you're...
What's a guy got to do to become a hapless police officer?
Right? I mean, I
who
think...
Who just needs someone to hold his
you're
hat.
You're more than qualified.
I think so.
I think so.
I've got the face of a cop who doesn't know what he's doing.
I want that. Yeah, this jawline is built for hapless police officer.
Yeah.
JFL Gags, you guys hearing this? We got two guys ready to go.
JFL Gags, let me just tell you that I am willing to walk around with my fly down.
What?
No.
Hey, now let's not.
Spoilers.
Let's not say anything we can't take back here. I mean, you're putting that out there.
I'm putting it out there.
They're gonna expect it of you now.
Walter, this isn't last night. I'm standing by my words.
I'm willing to play an ice cream vendor who is serving lard instead of vanilla.
What?
I'm willing to play a truck driver whose truck just can't start.
5 hours later.
And that's how we end our Just Last podcast, shitting on one of their products.
No,
this is not going to make this going to be cut from the broadcast.
No,
don't you dare. I just find it funny, because I do love pranks, but I'm just amazed that they've at no point ever updated it. And it's always the music, right? It's always the music that's so... Yeah, it's crazy.
Which it's just...
And I love Pranks.
I do like Pranks. I like Pranks a lot. I don't know, like, where's the middle ground? Because it's like, Just for Laughs is still doing, like, don't watch out. Like, that's, like, the vibe of a Just for Laughs prank. And then you see these Japanese prank shows where it's like...
Where man dies.
A guy thinks
man
that
dies.
His,
man
yeah,
actually dies.
Yeah, like, job interviewers get picked off by sniper fire and a man is screaming. And then a little bubble in the bottom right corner where his family is laughing in a crowd. It's like, it's not like post-traumatic stress disorder just comes from war. It just comes from, like,
being
an overwhelmingly
Japanese prank show?
Stressful environment
like,
and situation.
Like,
The jackass.
The jackass on the TV show.
It's like, your car's full of bees now. Fuck you.
One of the weirdest moments of all prank shows, including the Just for Last one, is the moment where the person in on the prank then gets to put his arm around the person that he just pranked, and then he gets to smile and point at the camera.
Yeah.
But it's this weird, that would weird me out even more. Mm. That suddenly a weird police officer's like,
hey, did you get that? That was a
just
good
like
one.
Gets close and you're like,
did you get
like,
it?
To a camera.
Yeah, exactly. Pointing at the camera.
You're
and then
cool,
like,
you're cool, right? You're cool.
Just
it's
be
funny.
Cool, let me touch you a little bit. And you're like, oh, fuck, it's so weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, that arm around smiling, pointing at the camera is in everyone. They did it in Candid Camera, they do it in Just for Laughs gags. They do it all the time.
I feel like there's a relation there that you've pointed out. That it's not a coincidence.
Strange. Yeah, but exactly. They're
it's
like,
almost
it's okay.
Like Just for Laughs gags saw it on Candid Camera.
But again,
took it.
The touching.
The
I don't
touching.
Like being touched by a stranger.
How many episodes did you do of Match Game?
Two. Or 10 in 2 days.
Ten in 2 days, yeah. Because I was there, I don't know if you remember, I was there. And
you were in when it was in Montreal. Yeah, now it's in Toronto.
It's really? They're shooting in Toronto now?
Yeah, man.
Damn it. We lost
God
that, too.
Damn it, fucking
shit.
Toronto.
But which is funny, because we were talking just now about how last year at the festival, you had your issues with the music for JFL Gags, and
sure.
I remember when the taping that I saw you at the Match Game, you had a problem with the music used by Match Game. So it's like, you're coming off as a bit of a music snob.
I'm a curmudgeon when it comes to theme songs.
I'm like, you know... And yet you keep associating yourself with this.
Well, the problem with Canadian theme songs and everything is, like, they're still obsessed with this... Like, the Halifax Comedy Festival has this, too. It's, like, this late 80s hip-hop vibe that they celebrate with, like... They associate with, like, edgy stuff, right?
Yeah.
And you see it in the off-JFL artwork, too. It's, like...
The bricks?
It's, like, a brick
the
wall.
The broken brick,
it's,
yeah.
Like, spray-painted on.
Yeah.
Come on,
no,
man.
Have you guys... been in that room over there?
No.
Like, yeah, there's always just spray-painted nonsense for the comedy, and you're like, it's like, again, like that 80s, yeah, like...
The Halifax Comedy Fest theme song is this. It just goes like... Comedy! It's great!
Did you do it? Did you record it?
I recorded it in the late 80s. I can't believe they're still using it. They bought me out.
But those residual checks, though.
I don't get them.
Oh.
But it's like, it's spray paint on a brick wall. What are you doing?
Neon spray paint on a brick wall is comedy.
Older well, they still, than Fresh Prince.
It was
still,
good enough for Andrew Dice Clay.
They still,
it's good
the,
enough for
they still
everybody.
Do the Comedy Now specials, right?
That's
the same
man.
Deal.
It's
the
same
deal,
shit.
And it's been that,
yeah.
The same theme since the like early to mid-90s.
They use that,
like, Comedy Now.
They use that, like... That, like, Big Daddy Kane style hip-hop beat. And then they cut to a set that's, like, pastel fluorescent slats. It's crazy,
yeah.
Like glowing pastel slats, and then a comic just standing in front of like bright orange and bright pink.
Comedy Now.
Like, just put him in front of a goddamn black curtain. It's terrible. Have we learned nothing from anything?
Put him in
ever?
A blazer with huge, huge shoulder pads. It's like, before you go on, you need to put this on, like the big shoulder pads. Like, why am I doing this? It's for the look. Get out there!
Yeah. Don't you get it, man? It's timeless. It's timeless.
Big shoulder pads, microphone, brick wall.
I remember I was doing that Yuck Yucks competition. I was talking to another comic backstage, and I was like, man, I just wish they didn't have us standing in front of, like, glowing blue walls. And he was like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, all right. Am I the only one who cares about
it? Yuck Yucks Toronto is a glowing blue wall.
It's a glowing blue wall.
It's a glowy green wall.
Looks like you're standing in front of, like, a cool, futuristic, like, elevator shaft or something.
Well, they're your
like
friend.
The elevator, but, like, not a, like, futuristic, like the Total Recall, like the Arnie Total Recall elevator shaft.
Past futuristic.
Yeah.
Like what they thought the future was going to be in 1984.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which is Comedy Now, I think. The future 1984 is Comedy Now, is the set of Comedy Now.
They want it to be timelessly bland.
Yeah.
you're like, when you look, I look at that stage and I say, I'm going to hear some safe comedy tonight.
God, that fucking sucks. And I think it's over now. But it's like, they take pride in sweetening it. So like adding applause where there, applause breaks where there are none.
Wait a minute.
Laughter where there is none.
Really?
You can always tell because they want to cut to commercial on a, they always cut to commercial on like the big crane camera pulling back from the stage and you see the tops of the audience and then it just like fades to black, cut to commercial. But they always want to do that on an applause break. But there's not that, like, I mean, most of the comedians who are doing comedy now, because they need so many, are doing it, like, 3 or 4 years into their comedy career. So they're not getting tons of applause breaks. So consistently, you'll see that camera pull out, you'll hear an applause break, and you'll see people not applauding. Comedy Now execs are, like, patting
good
themselves
job. Back. No one's going to, this is going to be seamless, guys.
It's crazy. It's like for people who, I don't know what their target audience is that they think's not going to notice that. Just old
people,
tired people.
Honestly, I don't know if I had noticed it until you told me that's what it was like. And I was like, oh,
but how many of you actually watched? I don't think you've ever watched it. Have you watched it?
I don't know, but yeah. I think I watched like Nathan's.
Yeah. Nathan McIntosh? Yeah. Yeah, it's so impressive when you see someone with a good comedy now because it's like, well, you rose above all of the impediments they threw in your path, Hercules.
Well, do you want to wrap this up?
Thank you so much.
Can we end this on vitriol?
Yeah, I mean...
just spewing anger at, I think, a now-ended comedy institution?
Yeah, I got on fast, and that's when I put myself on the back.
How many show?
Top two things you hate, Mark Little. Go.
Go.
Comedy fucking Now? Canada! Get me out of here!
Kyle Dooley, things you hate. Go.
Oh, man.
You were ready with those. You were ready with those so quick.
Does it happen a lot?
I feel like you've been waiting this whole hour to get to that.
Yeah, you get like a wrinkled insole on your leg.
Yeah. It's not fun.
And then your fucking hand smells.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It smells like sweaty leather.
For some reason, you haven't been wearing socks all week?
Stank.
Yeah,
shoot.
Sure.
You not wearing socks?
I haven't worn socks all week.
Good for you.
Wow, well, yeah. Guessed.
Nice.
What was your first hate?
We're going to put this up like ASAP, right?
Yeah, it's going to be today or tomorrow.
And yeah, right?
What's happening?
We're going to put up the podcast ASAP so people will hear it while the show is still happening.
Yeah, I'm sure this is going to be a great sell for our show.
I think so.
5 minutes of, here's the things that went wrong. We never really worked on it. And then 20 hours of Burton Cummings gel.
Let's keep in mind, if you want to see two well-dressed, very tall gentlemen on a JFL stage this festival, there's only one show
anywhere
for you to go see.
Tall white guys in slacks.
Yeah, in slacks.
And that's Kyle and Matt go to prom.
Kyle and Mark, you goddamn villain.
Is it Carl and Matt?
Carl and Matt.
Carl and Max.
Carl
go to
and
movie.
Matt go to the Sadie.
Sam and Max go to videos.
What is it about Sadie? What was that other dance?
And it's running till when? It's running till Friday?
It's Matt and Max go to Road Warrior.
Go to Road Warrior. At Mainline Theater.
And then we're Monday to Saturday, but no show Friday.
That's right.
All at the same time. Always at 7:30.
At the Mini Main.
Fantastic.
Mini Main.
And it is a very funny show.
Oh, thanks.
And I just don't know any spoilers to throw out because there's just all kinds of crazy things that happen.
Yeah. Teens, goths, proms, epic battles.
A villain with a motorcycle cape.
If you've ever been a teenager, go to the show.
That's a good sell.
My mind almost broke.
Stay out. Benjamin Button.
Nice.
Fuck yeah.
Benjamin Button's just listening to the show being like, God damn it.
Also, maybe we should encourage people to go into the show properly hydrated, because that was an issue.
It is a hot goddamn show.
Yeah.
If you're going to bring your old wife, make sure she's hydrated.
Yeah.
She will get heat exhaustion.
Yes.
And I will take it personally.
Yeah, Mark will go after you hard. Like, it's just,
Guard you up.
Well, thank you, gentlemen.
Oh,
I know you guys were out till late in the evening last night.
Oh, you want
to? I was. I'm just saying. But
stop of the interview.
But you're. But you got up. But you got up to join us. Yeah, you got up to join us for this, and we appreciate that.
Got up at 11:30.
Yeah, we got.
Yeah,
real
thank you for doing that. Thanks for coming downstairs.
making the trek. Thanks so much. This was our first. Sort of. This is our first official Just for Laughs, Go Plug Yourself, because we had Talar and Danny, but they're just fun. Yeah, there's music playing while this happens. There's like a trail off. It's all right.
It's gonna be Burton. Baby, yeah. Who's
those sweet, sweet piano tunes you're listening to right now come courtesy of Leland Beckman and Oral Turpitude. Oh man, that was some great podcasting, wasn't it? Anyhow, be sure as always to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, add us on iTunes, buy our stuff, and basically try as hard as you can to make us happy in every single way possible. Of course, be sure to check back every day on 9to5.cc for comics on Wednesdays, podcasts on Thursdays, Scott or Sophie's art on Fridays, and seriously, we'll try as hard as we can to get Zombies and Loathing, Fuck Mondays, and Templars back as soon as we can. Thanks for listening, everyone.
9to5.cc. We're not working. Why should you?